But we're in the same book to start out with. What's that? All right. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. We're going to be looking at something a little bit different tonight than what we did this morning. And I guarantee that you're going to have to look in your Bibles a few times tonight, because I've got quite a few scripture that we're going to be looking up. But Mark chapter 6, starting in verse number 32. It says, "And when they departed unto the desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep having not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country around about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And they, and when they knew, they say, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to take all, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000, what is that? Men. And tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about a subject of how far is too far. How far is too far? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for your love. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that's said and done here in this message tonight, that it be for your honor and your glory. We love you. We thank you for what you've done this morning. We just pray now that you'll be with us again tonight, and we'll give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. How far would you go to hear the gospel preached? How far is too far to travel to hear God's word prick your inner soul and to have the Holy Spirit speak to you? How far is too far? In the scripture that we just read, we saw the multitude of people. There was 5,000 men. That was not counting the women and children. And if you think about the families of the day, when of that time period, there were about 6 per family, if not a few more. And so if that was the case, there could have been between 30 and 35,000 people that were sitting there listening to the Lord. Think about that. 30 to 35,000 people who were sitting there listening to the Lord. That's a pretty good sized crowd. You know, if you would look at the size of the families and that. And the thing I find interesting about it is there was no McDonald's around there. Did you notice that? No McDonald's, no Burger King's. There were no Walmarts. There were no Costco's, no Sam's Club. Nothing like that anywhere around there. You know, they had were about 5 or 6 miles in the wilderness. The wilderness of that area was much like the wildernesses around, if you go Florence Kelvin Highway between here and Kelvin, and down in through there where all the rocks and stuff are. That's what the territory was like that they were in at that time period. And it was not hard. It was not easy to get where they were, and they had to walk to get there. There was no trams. There was no buses. There was no Ubers. There was no lifts. You know what I mean? They had to walk in order to get there. You know, Jesus many times would go to places like this to get away by himself or with the disciples. He would try to get somewhere that was solitude to where he could be all by himself. You know, it would have taken the people probably 2 or 3 hours to walk this. It wasn't an easy goal, but yet here's 30 to 35,000 people with their children who made the journey into the wilderness to hear what the Lord had to say. You know, most of these people had just heard Jesus teach in the cities. They knew what he could do. They saw him do his miracles, and they wanted more. They wanted to hear more of what he had. These same people had had a pricking of the teaching from the Word of God. These people wanted to hear it once more. They wanted to hear what God had for them. You know, it didn't matter to them that it was a 5-mile hike in the wilderness. It did not matter to them that they had no food or no water. It did not matter to them that, you know, camel gas was $3 a gallon back then. You know, they still were going to make the trip. So here we see all of these people there in the wilderness wanting one thing, and that was to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that was a sinner, that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, the Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is what? Lost. Here we see in this story a very short man. He's not very tall. Says that he is a short stature. That means he wasn't very tall at all. And you know, the Bible says that he was so small he couldn't see over everybody. You know, I hate to say this, but have you ever read a story in the Bible and you thought of what could have happened? You know what I mean? Here's all these tall people, and they're standing, you know, like this here waiting for Jesus, and here's Zacchaeus looking between their legs. And then I got to think of what they wore back then, and it was impossible to do that. So there's no way that he could see what was coming down the road. So the only thing he could do, he had a multitude of people that were all around him. You know, he was kind of between a rock and a hard place. Much like a lot of people are today when President Trump comes into an area. How many of you have seen the crowds the last 2 weeks at his rallies? The one he had in Texas, there were 20,000 people that couldn't get into the building. And they had to stay outside and watch on jumbotrons. When he was in Kansas, Kansas isn't a very big country or state, but they had it so full it was standing room only, and they had the building over maximum for the fire code. But I can see this happening with Jesus. He's coming into an area, and the throngs of people are following him, wanting to hear what he has to say. Now, they're just waiting for maybe some little tidbit of something that he's going to say that they can put in the press that wasn't just quite the way it should be. Much like the president today, you know what I mean? This little man could not see Jesus because of all the people. You know, he wanted to see what all the fuss was about. He had probably heard about what Jesus could do. I don't know if he had ever seen any of the miracles or not. I doubt it. But he wanted to see who this guy was. So what did he do? He climbed a tree. But this was not just an ordinary tree. This was a sycamore tree. A sycamore tree grows to be about 40 to 50 feet high, and it has big branches. But in order to get up there, there's about a 6-foot gap between the ground and the first. So somehow, he had to shimmy up that tree to get to the first branch so he could get up into the tree to see what was going on. You know, this was not an easy climb for such a little man to reach the branches to pull himself up. But he was determined to see what this Jesus was really all about. You know, he was ready to go to all lengths to see what Jesus was really like. You know, it did not occur to him that he might fall out of the tree. You know, think about that. I mean, here's a little guy up in the tree, branch breaks, falls down, breaks an arm, leg, neck. You know, that could happen. But you know, it didn't matter. He wanted to see this Jesus. You know, none of this mattered to him. And he was determined to go to all lengths to see the Lord Jesus. You know, too far was not in his vocabulary. He was going to do everything he could to see the Lord. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 8. I told you you'd be turning back and forth a little bit here tonight. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, starting at verse, as soon as I find it, 43. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And a woman having issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And all denied. Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee, the press and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Someone hath touched me, for I perceive that the virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and fell down before him, and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Here we see a woman. She had been sick for 12 years. She spent all of her money on doctors who could not do anything for her. You know, they were much like they are today. They were practicing medicine. Amen? And, yeah, amen. There you go. But no one was able to help her with what was going wrong in her body. You know, she may have walked many miles to see if she could just see Jesus. Now think about this for a minute. Here's a woman. She has an issue of blood. She's dying. It could have been leukemia. It could have been something like that. We have no idea. All we know is that she had went to every doctor that she could find, and no one could help her. She may have lived in another city. She may have been living on the streets. No one really knows. She may have spent all that she had on medical care. What was she going to do? She had no wealth left. She had no great home to go to. What would Jesus do for her? You know, she could have said, well, you know what? Jesus, he's a pretty important person. Why would it be me, just a lowly person? Why is it I should even get up to him? After all, there's going to be a lot of people there. You know, there's no use of me getting dressed and fighting the traffic and fighting the crowds, and because I may not see him anyway. There will be a great crowd of people there, and I have to push my way all the way through it. And I don't have the physical strength to do that. So I might as well just stay home. You know, I had a hard night. I was up all night. I'm tired. I'm not going to make that long walk all the way over to see Jesus. But you know what? That never entered her mind. None of that even entered her mind. It could have, but it didn't. She was very persistent. She did not care how far it was to find the Lord. She did not care how many people that she had to go through. She did not care how many miles that she had to walk. She knew that Jesus had something that she needed, and she was going to find it no matter what, and she was not going to say no. She had been sick for 12 years. She spent all she had. She had heard that Jesus could heal the sick. She did not care what time of day it was. All she wanted to do was to get to see Jesus. You know, I can see this woman. You know, just think about this for a minute. Here's this throng of people all around. And here's this woman pushing her way through the people, trying to get up to Jesus. And she's thinking in her mind, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. You know, I can see her as she gets closer. The crowd is crowding more and more and more. Finally, she gets down on her hands and knees, and she's crawling between the people, and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Whoa! Think about that. Too far was not in her vocabulary to find the Lord. Too far was not too far for her to go to get healed. This woman was dying, and she had no hope on her own. The only hope she had was the Lord. Go to Luke chapter 19 real quick. Again. We've already read that, so we won't read it, but I want to talk to you about a little bit about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I don't believe that at first he thought that he was going to see Jesus. You know, all he wanted to do was just catch a glimpse, even if it was a long ways away, to see him. I don't think that he thought that Jesus was going to pass right underneath that tree. Yet, by going as far as he possibly could up in that tree, Jesus not only saw him, but he stopped and talked to him. What did he say? Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. You know, as I was going through this and reading this scripture, I got to thinking of the leftists. Did you hear what they said? Did you hear what the leftists said in that scripture reading? I'll find it for you. And you got to see this. Because as I was reading this, as I was doing this message, that thing with Judge Kavanaugh was going on. And verse 7. And when they saw it. Now this is speaking of the people who are around. These were the Pharisees. These are the ones that were accusing Jesus of not being who he was. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a what? You dirty, rotten guy! Why are you going to be with a sinner? Right? Isn't that what they're saying? Isn't that exactly what they're saying? Saying, why are you going to be with a sinner? After all, he has cheated people. He's treated people unfairly. He's taken money that wasn't his. You know, why are you going to be with him? As I read that, I got to thinking about the accusers with Judge Kavanaugh. But you know, by going up in that tree, Zacchaeus was going too far. He got up there, and you know what? As he was up there, he could see the crowd coming towards him. You know, what would have happened if Jesus would have went down a different street? And here he's up in this tree. He wouldn't have seen him, would he? But yet Jesus came right down that street where he was in that tree. Yeah, call him by name. He's Zacchaeus, you come. How did he know his name? Zacchaeus never met him. You know, it wasn't enough for him to climb the tree, but he gave half of all he had to the poor. And if you cheated anybody, he was going to give him four times what he cheated him back. You know, what an added benefit for going too far, but that was not all of it. Verse 9 says that salvation came to his house because he had went too far for Christ. Zacchaeus had received the Savior of the world by going too far. He received Christ. We used to have a lady come to church. Her name was Shirley Johnson. Shirley Johnson, 94 years old. She sat right back where Betty sits. You know Shirley. Her husband would never come to church with her, ever. He'd drop her off, pick her up, never come to church with her. I sat and talked to her many, many, many times. One day, she was in my office, we were talking, and I said to her, I said, can I ask you something? I said, how did you get saved? Where did you get saved at? She says, I was just a young girl when I got saved. I said, really? She goes, yeah. She says, I was saved at a Billy Sunday rally. I said, what? She goes, I was saved at a Billy Sunday rally. And she told me the city and everything that she was in. And I said, man. She says, every time Billy Sunday would come within 200 miles of our house, my mom and dad would go and listen to him. They drove 200 miles. This was back in the early 1900s. They would go 200 miles to listen to Billy Sunday. She said one time they took the train and they went to listen to Billy Sunday. She says it was the year that they went on the train was the year that she got saved. I said, really? She says, oh, Pastor Storm, she says, you have no idea what it was like to hear him preach. She says, we would get there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and he would start at 6 o'clock at night. And we would try to get as close to the front as we could, but she says, people camped overnight there. And the front was pretty well full. So we'd see it about halfway back. And she said, he would come on, and he would start preaching about 6:30. They had singing and stuff beforehand. She said they would start. He would start preaching, and he would preach for an hour straight. She says, I can remember him sliding across the podium, just like he was sliding in the third base. She says, I can remember one time he got up on top of the pulpit, and he was standing on top of the pulpit preaching. She goes, man, he just kept the people so interested. She said, then afterwards, they'd start having singing again. For the next hour, we would sing, and somebody else would get up and preach for a little bit. And about 8 o'clock, he'd come back out, and he'd preach again. I read his biography, and in that hour that he was gone, he went in the back. He had a professional trainer back there that gave him a rub down, and he drank fluids and stuff to get himself hydrated again. And then he went right back out, and he preached another message. She says, oh, she says, I was so thankful that my mom and dad would go that far, because that's how I got saved. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, what's too far to go to listen to the gospel message? You know, in the scripture that we read, the woman with the issue of blood, verse 44 says, immediately her issue of blood stench and dried up. The woman had went too far. She had crossed all barriers to get where she needed to be. She had done everything that she needed to do to be healed. This woman trusted Christ to heal her. This woman had trusted man so long and had spent everything that she had, and yet she could not get healed. It was not until the moment that she touched the hem of his garment. She found the master, and her broken body was healed. In verse 48 it says, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. This woman had went too far, but she was given an added benefit. She got a blessing from the Lord. Go your way in comfort, for you're healed. Wow. Man. What a beautiful picture of salvation, isn't it? We must go too far in order to find the Savior. We must search for Him, and when we find Him, we need to accept Him for what He is. We need to take Him at His word. We need to realize that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We need to understand that He is there for us when we need Him most. How far is too far? How far is too far? How far is too far for you to go to hear the Word of God? We need to seek the Lord while He may be found. I know of people who go thousands of miles to hear a rock star, but they won't go across the street to hear the Word of God. I know people who cross the nation to see some concert, but yet they won't drive across town to hear the preaching of God's Word. How far is too far? There are no bounds that I know of, but what we should have to find the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we cannot outgive God. Because when we find Him, He's going to give everything to us that He has. And that's eternal life. You know, one thing about God, He has a pot bigger than we do. Amen? And His pot is always full. And He's ready to take and give us what He has. Now, I don't believe that it's too far for God in anything that He does. I really don't believe that too far is even in God's vocabulary. You know what I mean? So why is it we feel it is too far to go for Him? I can remember years ago, my mom and dad would take us to tent meetings up at Wisconsin Dells. It was an hour and a half one way. We'd close the store at 6 o'clock at night, drive till 7:30, get up to this camp where this camp meeting was, and they started preaching at 8 o'clock, and they'd preach from 8 o'clock till 10. We'd get in the car, drive another hour and a half back home, go to bed, get up in the morning, open the store, work the store till 6 o'clock that night, get back in the car, drive another hour and a half up there. But you know what? I heard some of the best preaching that I ever heard in my entire life. One of the guys that preached, this is when I was real young, was a guy by the name of John R. Rice. Old gravelly voice guy. He got up there, but oh, could he preach. Oh, could he preach. You know, we as Christians, we shouldn't have too far in our vocabulary. We should want to travel to hear God's words preached. If you're not saved tonight, you need to take and make the too far decision that you want to get saved tonight. How far is too far? Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for tonight. Thank You for Your love. We thank You for all that You've done for. We just thank You that too far was not in Your vocabulary, and yet You went to the cross and died for us. We just thank You so much for being there for us. Father, help us to realize that with our busy schedules and with our many things that we have going on, that too far shouldn't be in our vocabulary either. Help us, I pray. Guide us, direct us in all that we do. We love You. We thank You for loving us. I just pray now, Lord, that You continue to bless and guide us tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. I'm not going to belabor the invitation at all, but maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved. I can't remember a time or a place where I've asked the Lord into my heart. But with my uplifted hand, I want you to pray for me tonight. Is there anyone like that? Just quickly, quietly raise your hand, put it back down. Anyone at all? Maybe you're here and you're saying, you know, preacher, many times I think that it's too far to go to church. Even though it might not be that far, it's just too far to go to church on Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. But you know, tonight I'm making a vow that I'm going to be in church whenever I can. Would you pray for me that I can do that? Is there anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, just raise your hand, put it down. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, I see that hand. Father, You know our hearts, You know our desires, and I just pray, Lord, that You'll be with these that have made this vow to You tonight, that they're going to be in church whenever they can. Father, we thank You so much for loving us so much. I pray now that You'll continue to guide us, direct us in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you so much for coming tonight.